Greg Gonsalves. I appreciate you coming in to talk to me.
My pleasure.
Welcome. In Toronto, you gave a speech that got a lot of attention, and you said, I am telling you right now, we are losing the struggle against this disease. Is it a different message here in Mexico City?
I think the message is slightly different because we're 2 years later into the epidemic. We still have too many new infections and too many deaths. We still have only 31% coverage of antiretroviral therapy for those in need. We have far less coverage of key prevention interventions like PMTCT and access to clean needles and methadone. But the world has sort of shifted against us over the past 2 years. As many of people at this conference will know, there's been a lot of a backlash against AIDS since Toronto, telling us that, you know, the figures about AIDS have been inflated by UNAIDS, that AIDS gets too much money, why doesn't it go to maternal and child health or to sanitation, that even AIDS programs for treatment are distorting and destroying health systems. So we're not in a good position, both politically and epidemiologically, 2 years after Toronto.
But it doesn't sound like you would go quite so far as you did in Toronto, losing the struggle. Powerful words.
You know, we now have 3 million people on antiretroviral therapy. It's an achievement. It's of our lifetimes, it's probably the single most ambitious public health achievement that I can think of, in terms of the ambition and the scope of what's been done. And that's a good thing. You know, right now we're on the trajectory to universal access to 2010. And when you look at where we need to be by 2010, we're not winning that battle.
You do not expect that the 2010 goal will
be
met?
We won't meet the 2010 goal in terms of universal access, for many, many different reasons.
Such as
we never set targets. Basically, you know, I was in the meetings with UNAIDS and the Department of International Development of the UK government, and they argued, as well as the US government, that we didn't need global targets now. That 3x5, you know, we don't need to do something like that anymore. We need to sort of give countries more control, be more flexible about it. But basically what we've gotten is no milestones to reach for and no timeline and deadline to bring us forward. So we will not reach universal access to treatment, prevention, and care by 2010.
Where do you think we will be?
We'll be slightly more, we'll have slightly more coverage than we do now on key interventions. But the pace and the momentum of 3x5 and other initiatives, you know, just a few years ago is gone. We're back to sort of the old way of doing things, the way WHO likes to do it, the way UNAIDS likes to do it, the way, you know, the US government likes to do it, the way the UK government likes to do it.
I want to go back to where you started, and that is a discussion of the kind of backlash that we're hearing about here in Mexico City. And one thing you hear about, in fact, Peter Piot addressed it last night in the opening ceremony when he talked about rejecting the argument that AIDS should be normalized or not considered exceptional, because if someone does have treatment, it is a chronic disease, it is not a death sentence. Where has that debate originated, and what does it do to the fight against AIDS?
Well, there are different ways to think about exceptionalism. You know, for AIDS treatment, for instance, do we need a standalone ARV clinic, or should, like I do, get my ARV care in the context of primary care? And that's normalizing HIV care into a broader framework of comprehensive primary care. The other way people talk about exceptionalism around AIDS is that it's gotten too much money, that it's gotten too much focus, that it's gotten special treatment of some sort. But what they seem to do is this: people seem to have some sort of envy about AIDS, some sort of jealousy about AIDS, and nobody talks about bringing everything else up. You know, let's bring sexual and reproductive health up, let's bring maternal and child health up, let's bring sanitation up, let's bring everything up. It seems that they want to push AIDS down to the level of unexceptionalism of everything else. And so I think Peter and myself and many people are saying AIDS is exceptional, but everything else should be exceptional too. So that means that governments have to pony up, you know, 0.7% of GDP for overseas development aid, including health, that they have to treat all health and development issues as exceptional issues. we're not in a race to the bottom. And people like Roger England, people like Daniel Halperin, and other people who have made these cases that AIDS are getting too much money, are not thinking of an expansionist, maximalist view about public health and human development. They're saying, let's go back to the days when, you know, the idea of anybody getting such a sophisticated intervention like we see in HIV with ART was a pipe dream, and people thought it was unsustainable and not cost-effective.
You were involved in the release recently of a report from the International Treatment Preparedness Coalition that evaluated the response in the health systems. And one of the strong points you made was what you were just saying, that it lifts everything up, the response to AIDS. And how do you see that happening in a village in Africa, for example?
Well, look, there are bad ways to do things and there are good ways to do things. I was at a session yesterday on health systems where the health minister of Ethiopia spoke, and he said, look, you know, AIDS money was vital to pump up our health systems. You know, before AIDS, there was no great investment in any kind of public health the world over, and he's used it to strengthen primary care, to integrate HIV programs into primary care, and to build up human resources, to build up training, to build up laboratory capacity, to build up physical infrastructure. And so, you know, there are bad ways to think about ARV care. If somebody comes in with an ARV program, sets up a separate shop, puts an ad in the paper that says, we need doctors, you know, and they all come running to you to make a higher salary, that's not the way to do it.
Because then people who don't have HIV will be they won't be treated there.
No, well, you know, if we create perverse incentives for people to move out of the primary health system into vertical programs, that's a bad thing to do. But in many cases, in Ethiopia, in Rwanda, in Haiti, we know of people who are saying, you know what, the long-term vision for HIV care is something that's driven by comprehensive primary care. We're going to manage a chronic illness over time. It's not going to be based on a bevy of specialists dealing with individual patients. It's going to have to go through the regular health system, you know. And so,
do you believe that some of what you describe as the backlash will gain political traction and will serve as an excuse for some governments to not be as aggressive as you would like them to be?
Yeah, but you know, the backlash is coming from very important people. People who work at the Council on Foreign Relations, people who have been affiliated or work for the Department for International Development in the UK. These are not sort of outsiders people who are outside the system. This is coming from deep within the health and development establishment. And basically what I see this backlash driving is providing an excuse for governments to pull back on AIDS, to go back to the old way of doing things, where civil society wasn't really important, where there were backroom deals between the good old boys and Ministry of Health in this country and Ministry of Health in this country. So a lot of the critique, the backlash right now, is a negative vision. They're not saying, you know, let's pour more money into everything. Let's get civil society into doing other health work like it happens in AIDS. Let's have accountability and transparency, like the missing the target report for maternal health or for sanitation. They're talking about a negative vision, about what they don't like, what they see as bad. But they don't chart a vision for the future. They chart a vision of the past, in my estimation.
You're giving a plenary speech later in the week here in Mexico City. Can you give us a preview?
The preview is that, you know, 30 years ago, ministers of health and public health experts met in Kazakhstan and issued the Alma-Ata Declaration, saying that we should have health for all by 2010. And we are the heirs of Alma-Ata. We are going to drive a movement for primary care. If we build on AIDS, on the way we've garnered resources, the way we've forced governments to take the health of poor people into account, to enforce accountability and good governance, we will take that and we can build a strong, comprehensive primary care movement. And that's where AIDS should go now, both because it's a clinical necessity, because people like me need to depend on good primary care infrastructures to provide services, but also because that's the right thing to do. It's not right that somebody dies of a diarrheal disease when they can get ARVs. But what we're saying is join us, learn from what we've done, the innovations, the successes we've had, and we will help build health for all even though it seemed 10, 15 years ago that it was a joke in the public health community.
Your definition of success coming out of Mexico City?
My definition of success coming out of Mexico City is three things. One is to say we reject these sterile debates that Roger England, Lori Garrett, Daniel Halperin, and others are putting forward. What we want to do is refocus our attentions on universal access with hard targets, hard deadlines about when we're going to have X number of people on ARVs, by when we're going to have full coverage of key prevention interventions, how many people, by when, and also start to broaden the AIDS movement to say we're going to take on a larger mission around extending and building up primary care that was called for 30 years ago in a place very far away from Mexico City, but the call is still a good one.
Okay, thank you very much, Ray Gonzalez. I appreciate it.